In this age of dickiness, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised his servant, Yemi Adomeju, to raise models of integrity and power. Models that will rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where he has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of Life. Join Yemi Adomeju for the Word of His Grace.
I'd like you to please turn your Bibles open with me to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew, chapter number 22. And we start reading from verse 34. Matthew 22, 34 to 40. I'd like you to follow me as I read. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In the first service, I preached a message titled "The First Commandment." From this passage of scripture, Jesus gave us the greatest of the commandments. And the greatest of the commandments is love towards God, which is translated worship. Worship is the reason why you are living. Worship is the reason why you are here. Worship is the reason why you are seen on this side of eternity. "These people have I formed," God said in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21, "and they shall show forth my praises." God has formed you to show forth his praise, and you are to be worshippers. That is the first law. Worship is the first law of the soul. Worship. God wants you to be a worshipper. Not just a church goer, but a worshipper. Someone who worships God in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, from verse 21. Jesus said, "You won't have to worship God on this mountain anymore. The time is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." So God wants you to worship him in spirit and in truth. And we said worship is the starting point of every relationship with God. Worship is the intent and the expectation of a Christian walk with God. He wants you to walk with him. Worship is the ultimate of our devotion. In Revelation chapter 4, from verse 8 to verse 11, the Bible makes it clear that the 24 elders, they lay down their crown willingly, and they worship as the beasts, the living creatures, worship God. They worship God. They lay down their crowns, their laurel. They worship God. It is the ultimate. And that is what we will do when finally we make it to heaven. Worship is the occupation of heaven, and that is what we will do when we get there. Don't forget, it is the first law of the soul and number one requirement of Christian responsibility. It is your number one responsibility as a Christian. And any man who violates this law is doing injustice to his own soul, peril to his soul. And I said in the first service that worship comes before service. You must be a worshipper before you start serving God. Acceptable service is for those who are worshippers of God, Those who have known Jesus, who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. In this second service, for a very brief moment, let me preach a message titled, The Second Commandment. The second commandment, Jesus said, the first commandment is love towards God. And I call that worship. And he told us, the second commandment is love towards your neighbor. Love towards your neighbor. Love. And so we call that one love. The first one, worship. The second one, love. Love towards your neighbor. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's read. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. So the second commandment is love. The first commandment is worship. The second commandment is love. Love towards your neighbor. Let me read because of time from verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love, that is charity, suffereth long. That's long suffering. And is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. He is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not our own. He is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. And endureth all things. The greatest motivation for anything that succeeds in life is love. Love is the motivation for anything that will succeed. Any nation you see succeeding, any nation you see doing well, behind the doing well of this nation, of this country, is love. Love your neighbor. Jesus said, that is the second greatest commandment. So a man who has the first commandment, coupled with the second commandment, will be a great success in whatever he does. Now, you can succeed with your fellow human being if you observe the second commandment only. You will be a success here with man or with men. Fantastic. But what about eternity? Because what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul in hell? And that is why the first commandment is still the most important commandment. The problem with our nation, the problem with many nations in Africa, and with Nigeria particularly, is lack of love. There is no love. Now, because Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no love. That is why political leaders, business leaders, religious or spiritual leaders don't have love for their neighbors. They don't care for their neighbors. They are concerned on I, me, and myself. And that is why in this nation, a pauper will become the president and governor. And immediately, his entire family becomes billionaire in a jiffy. And the nation is wallowing in abject poverty, struggling and suffering because of the violation of the second important law, the law of love. Where there is no love, there can be no progress. There can be no success. Any family where love is lacking, that family will not succeed. Any organization, any church, where there is no love, there can be no progress. Because love is very important. You worship God, number one commandment. You love your neighbor, number two commandment. The problem is, we've always had a problem with who is my neighbor. And I think that my neighbor is just me, I, me, and myself. They're my wife and my children. It was Lord Atkins who said, in a very wonderful case many years ago, against the case of Donoghue and Stevenson, he was defining your neighbor. Hear what he said. He said, your neighbor is anyone that will be affected directly or indirectly by your actions or omissions that you ought reasonably to take into consideration when adverting your mind towards that action or towards that omission. Your neighbor. Anybody that will be affected by what you do is your neighbor. Anybody that will be affected by your actions or your omissions is your neighbor. You must have it in contemplation. If I throw this banana peel here, anybody that passes and steps on it is my neighbor. And I should take that into consideration, that somebody may step on it and get injured. That is my neighbor. So if you have concern for your neighbor, then you will do well. You'll be a very good employee. You'll be a very great employer. If you have labor and love and concern for your neighbor, a man who has love for his neighbor is a good employer of labor. A man, an employee who has love for his neighbor will be a good employee. He will not think of how to destroy the business of his employer. He will not think of how to steal, because we lack those things. A man who loves will be a great political leader, because he will think of the nation first and not I, me, myself. The kind that we are having in this nation today. No love. No love. And again, a young man approaches a young lady. I love you. You don't understand love. You don't know the meaning of love. Because you think love is lost. Love is not lost. Love. So what is love if it is not lost? I mentioned a few because of time. Young lady, young man, you are not married, you are single and searching. Single, not searching. What is love? Love is a conviction, not just an attraction. It is what? A conviction, not just an attraction. Quite unfortunately, we equate love to attraction. I'm attracted to this sister. And I think that is love. No, sir. I'm attracted to this sister. I'm going to marry her. That is not love. Love is more than an attraction. It's a conviction. I am convinced, so I want to settle and live with you the rest of my life. I am convinced. It's a conviction, not an attraction. Do you know why? Attraction never lasts. You know why? Marriage is not a bar to attraction. You may be attracted to Bioma today, and tomorrow it may be Nkechi. Attraction never lasts. So love is not an attraction. It's a conviction. And that is why your decision to marry, to choose or settle with a partner, must not be based on physical attraction, physical beauty. Is it wrong to be beautiful? No, sir. No, ma. Please, be beautiful. Esther chapter 2 verse 7. Esther chapter 2 verse 7. One of the reasons why this girl was admitted, was among those chosen, was because she was beautiful. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter. She had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful. Look at the New Living Translation. NLT, that verse. Fair and beautiful. Do you have NLT? And the scripture says, when her father and mother died, Mordecai adopted to his family and raised her for his own daughter. Lovely, beautiful, and lovely. Beautiful and lovely. Beauty is physical. Loveliness is internal. Beautiful in future and in face, in form. Form and future. You must understand, one of the reasons why you must not marry or choose a partner based on physical attraction is because beauty migrates from the face to the heart. The real beauty dwells in the heart, loveliness. And all this beauty of face, if you like, use all kinds of Mary Kay. If you like, use all foundation, all concealers, all erasers, all those, call all those things. I'm the one that added the eraser. Use all those things. After a particular time, use anything you feel like using, the physical beauty will not be there. If you are not beautiful on the inside, then you are ugly. So you must be beautiful on the inside. It is beyond attraction. What happens when beauty now migrates? It migrates from the face to the natural habitat, the heart. When it moves from the face to the heart and there is no beauty, what happens if I have chosen based on physical attraction? Beauty of face never lasts. So don't build based on physical beauty. Are you following me? I decided to share this because this is February. I wanted to share February 14th, and I said, no, let me, but you must hear now. Love, it is not an attraction, it's a conviction. Secondly, love is not an emotion, it's a decision. It is not an emotion. I feel like all the butterflies in your tummy, all the tingling feeling, is going to be for a while. They don't last forever. I can't sleep if I don't see you. I can't. It's not true. Lori Ronnie. Can you go to our Sunday? Be Lori Ronnie. It's not an emotion. I've told you, if a young boy who wrote a letter to a young lady, very emotive. I can face a lion because of when you are not something. I can cross seven oceans. I can climb mountains when you are not Edmund Hillary. I can climb mountains. And then he ended the letter by saying, I will come see you in the evening if it does not rain. You can swim seven oceans. You can climb mountains. You can face lion. You cannot come in the rain. It's just emotions. So love is not an emotion. It's a decision. You decide to love. It's a decision. And then, once you take the decision, you stand by the consequences of your decision, positive or negative. May the Lord help you. Praise the Lord. Number three. Love is a commitment, not just convenience. It's a commitment, not just convenience. I wanted to love and marry very quickly. When I saw a very good friend to an uncle of mine, how they related in their marriage. So beautiful. He had a very beautiful wife. This auntie was just perfect beauty. Anytime we visited, she was always all over her husband. Oh, honey, I love you, honey. And you know, and I was just a student. I was at the law school, Lagos. And this beautiful lady would put meat on, in her mouth, on her lips, and put it to her husband's mouth. Oh, come and see love. I just wanted to marry you too, to be in love, so that I can also put my wife on my laps, and then she put meat on her mouth. I put it to my mouth, and then I was eager. The young man worked in finance companies in those days. He was doing well, And then 1993 crisis in finance houses, he lost his job. And things went down. Your life will not go down. And the wife left him because things went down. That was why I said, marry, love is a commitment, not just convenience. It is not for better I stay, for worse I go. It is commitment, and that is why you must think thoroughly before you commit. I feel you, brother. Think thoroughly before you commit. Amen. It's a commitment. Lifelong commitment. And I have told you of the commitment. You see, it's so terrible today, the way we humans. We need to go to the animals and learn. Go and learn from the geese. Study that the geese, when they travel, you know, geese, they travel in V formation. And if one of them is wounded and goes out and cannot continue the journey, two other geese will drop with the wounded one. Wounded or sick, they will drop with the wounded or sick. Now, the geese, the dove, the eagle, are three creatures that have the semblance of marriage like we human beings. They woo to marry. They woo and they marry and they leave husband and wife and they are committed to each other. So, when this goose is wounded and drops, two geese will drop with the wounded. A good neighbor and the spouse of the wounded or sick goose. The wife, the spouse. And they will stay with the goose, the wounded goose, until it gets better to join the next available formation or dies. It is when he dies that another they will not fly away. Commitment. But we rarely see such commitment among men. And we claim love. I love you, I love you, I love you. Now, I became a bit confused. Because our mothers who got married in those days, they really didn't know love. Some of them were married out. Some of them were given to their husbands. And then we saw in them decision to stay. Maybe because of the children or what have you. And then we saw in them commitment in the marriage. We saw this in them. We saw mothers. I've seen mothers who didn't get money from the husbands. And yet, they made provision for the husband and for the children. Commitment. Commitment. But in these days, in this age, it's so terrible. Now we have to go back to love. Love as God instructed. Genuine love. A commitment. A commitment. Number four. Love is also service. Service. You are not ready to serve. You are not ready to love. You serve. Man, if you are not ready to serve your wife, to serve your children, don't marry yet. Wait till you mature to that level of responsibility that you are willing to serve. I will tell you that those who love serve. Those who love serve. Somebody help me say that. Those who love, you serve the person you love. So if you are married and your spouse cannot serve you, then he or she does not love you. Genuinely. I'm not saying fight you, but I'm just telling you. Or let me speak to the man who does or the woman. If you cannot serve your spouse, then you don't love. Because love is service. Love is service. Love is also sacrifice. The sacrificial love is sacrificial. Very quickly, note this about love as we move on, as I get set to close. Love is quick to forgive. It forgives offenses. Love, what is called love, is quick to forgive offenses. But if you don't, you find it difficult to forgive, you don't love. You don't love. And let's come back to our basic everyday life. If your action will negatively affect somebody, then you don't love. So you must think of others when you want to take a decision. When you want to do anything, think of how it affects others. That is the proof that you love or not love. Forgiveness. And I'll talk about two more. Forgiveness. And nobody will offend you more than like the person you love. That the person closest to you, your whole spouse, your fiance, your fiancee. And there must be a place in you to forgive you. I mean to forgive. In church, the closest person in your department, wherever you operate, you must find it in your heart, find a place to forgive, because people who are close to you will step on your toes. If you are like this number in church, we are members of the same church, and we are not stepping on each other's toes, then it means that we are all dead or not making progress. If we are not dead, we are living and we are making progress, we will step on each other's toes. And if I step on your toes, please forgive. If you step on my toes, I should please forgive. That is forgiveness in love. All this, I will never forgive you until we get to heaven. You won't get there. You won't get there. Unforgiveness will not allow you to get there. That thing you did to me, I will never. Sir, the door is closed. You are the one who closed it. You are the one who locked the door. And if you must get there, please unlock the door. Forgive. Forgive. Joseph was a man who showed us we should forgive those who hurt us bad. Those who did evil to you, forgive them. Joseph taught us that. Praise the Lord. And now when you see someone who has love, he has self-effacement. Self-effacement. He's not projecting self. Self. One of the things you see about genuine love is self-abasement. Self-effacement. Self-effacement is to just put yourself aside and let others be seen, preferring one another in love. Self-effacement. You see a man who just wants me to be noticed. A man who wants his name seen on everything. A man who is craving the applause of people. A man who is looking for reward. He's not love. There are some wives, they can't do anything for their husband except the husband does some other things. There are some husbands, their wife must do something for them to do anything. Love. Self-effacement. Hide yourself. And don't forget what I said God told me many years ago. There is no limit to what God will do with you if you don't mind who gets the credit. Don't struggle for credit. Don't wait for the praise of others. Those who love don't do battle for their own point of view. They don't battle for their point of view. If you love, you don't insist. My point of view must stand. Genuine love. Genuine love does not insist on its point of view. Even when you think you are right, you think. I told one of my precious ones that I'm very quick to say sorry in the face of superior argument. When I realize I'm wrong, I say sorry. But again, I learned from my little son that sorry is not sorry if it is not really sorry. I don't know how to explain that. Sorry is not sorry. You know, he said, okay, sorry. He said, that is not sorry. You have to say, I am sorry. I said, I am sorry. You know, there are a lot of sorries that are not sorry. Oh, okay, sorry, yo. Sorry, in that, huh? Oh, there might be no. That could be more annoying. That one is no sorry. Love is quick to say sorry. Self-effacement. You don't do battle for your own point of view. Don't do battle. And they don't live on the praise of others. Love. Don't live on the praise of others. Please, we must understand, only love can worship God. Only lovers of God can worship God. Those who can't worship, those who are arrogant, can't worship. And they don't have love. Love the Lord your God, and this love for God will push you, not even push you, will motivate you to worship the Lord. And love for your neighbor. Please, from today, everything you want to do, consider your neighbor. You want to drive against traffic, consider your neighbor. You are so much in a hurry, and you ask your bike man to take one way. Consider the others. Consider a lady that is looking very properly. She's crossing, and then she knows vehicles are expected to come from the left, and she looks at the left. She's not looking at the right side, and so she crosses, not knowing that you are coming recklessly from the right. Consider a little boy that may run across the road in church. Speed limit, 4 kilometers per hour. Slow down. Consider little children in church who may be jumping up and down. And if you don't slow down, you may eat one of them. You consider others. Your neighbor. Your neighbor. Before you hoard those things you are selling, consider others. Consider a man who may die of starvation if you don't release that pain. Consider the family who will be in pain if you don't pay the wages of the man who labored for you. Someone has worked for you and you refuse to pay him for whatever reason. When the Bible says the wages of a laboring man must not be with you till tomorrow. Consider the children. Consider the wife and the children of this man before you hold on to his money. Consider others. Before you cheat someone, consider those who are connected. You are a 419er or niner. Consider others. You are a Toyahu Yahoo. You don't have love. Consider others. Consider. Oh, they say it's Yahoo Plus. You use somebody's blood. Consider lives that you will be ruined. Internet fraud. Consider others. Before you make that phone call and scam that person. Yeah, hello. Shalafi, how are you? How are you doing? You remember me? You don't know your uncle. Your uncle in U.S. Consider. And you are calling from Ajegunle. Consider lives that will be ruined. Love for others. The bedrock of progress, development in any nation. Love for others. Before you start cursing people, love. Love does not curse. Love. I want you to please leave this place this morning and obey this great commandment. The second commandment is to love. Love genuinely. The love that is not looking for what to get or what to take. It is not the love that exploits. You don't exploit your position. That is not love. Love that is exploitative is not love. It's not love. It's let us love in deed and in truth. My prayer is that God will make you a man who loves genuinely. Love for your neighbor, your spouse, for your neighbor, people around you, and for people you don't even know who will be affected by your actions or your omissions. Love is a builder. You can't build without love. Love builds. To build a home, love is essential. To build an organization, love is essential. To build a nation, love is essential. And don't ever forget, love is not, it's more than an attraction. It's a conviction. Love is more than an emotion. It's a decision. Love is not, it's more than convenience. It's commitment. And then, love is service. Love is sacrifice. You'll be willing to sacrifice for the cause you believe in. Let's bow down our head. This morning, God loves you. Not that we loved him, but that he first loved us. And you are here this morning, you want to reciprocate God's love. You want to be born again. You want to accept the love of God by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want to become a child of God. You want to be clothed with love. I want to pray with you. You are in the auditorium. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want the love of God to flood your heart and your life. Lift up your right hand. Pastor, I want to be born again. Lift it up. Don't be shy. Lift your hands up above your head. Properly, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to accept him as my Lord and my Savior.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's choice servant, Yemi Adeyeju. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join Yemi Adeyeju in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda Jua Road, Ibadan, every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.